Despite, hold your station. Hold your station. This is Commander Serrano, acting captain of the Vigilance. Hold your station or...
Or what?
The display flickered as the signal stretched with the other craft's acceleration and the comm unit's logic struggled to reassemble it, but Harris could see the face clearly enough. Lieutenant Commander Kianza Hearn, not that much different from the days when she and Harris had shared a compartment in the junior officer's warren aboard a claim.
I don't know what you've done, but you have no authority. You're a civilian now, Harris.
No. Special assignment, Lieutenant Commander. Surely you don't think I was out here by accident.
I think you're bluffing.
I think you are. We have recordings from Garavay's office.
Bastard! I finally get a ship of my own, and the next thing I know...
You've got a ship full of innocent crew. Turn command over to your exec or another loyal officer, and I'll see what I can do.
I'm not stupid, Harris. If you've got real evidence, I'm dead meat anyway. Under the circumstances, I think a strategic withdrawal is in my best interest. You'd have a tough time catching me, especially if you're crazy enough to stick around and try to stop the benignity.
Your crew...
My crew will have to take care of themselves. You understand that. Yours did.
The old rage and grief broke over Harris like a wave. She fought her way out of it in seconds, but made no more effort to convince Hearn.
Captain, we have a statement from one of the officers on the list.
Go ahead, Oblo.
Seems like he was recruited by a benignity agent about 4 years ago and hasn't done a thing for them since. Claims he didn't know about the plan to surrender this system. But after he heard the recording, he changed his tune and said he was coerced.
Well, it's evidence. I assume Lieutenant Janice knows about this?
Yes, sir. And they've got uniforms for us now.
Good. You know what to do. Kutsudis and your duffel will be aboard shortly. I'll be contacting the Xavierans now.
The General Secretary and the Station Master were side by side in the screen, looking grumpy until they saw who it was, then relieved. That relief wouldn't last long, not with what she must tell them.
I've taken command of the fleet units operating here. The former commander was removed for treason.
I wondered. Well, you'll have our backing, such as it is. What can we do?
Sir, you need to prepare for assault. We have no idea now how many ships are coming. We'll tell you when we can, but delay is the best we can do. Remember what we talked about before. Get your people downside into the best shelters you can find, scattered far away from recognizable population centers, ready to live rough for some months. If you have deep caves out in the mountains or something, that would be best.
Harris hoped the horse farm Cecilia was on was far enough out. She reminded herself to find out.
But our militia?
Harris remembered the proud troops in their colorful uniforms. How could she save their pride without costing them their existence?
I can't recommend resistance. They'll have trained troops and plenty of them. But if you can hide out for a few months, Fleet should be back in here. Your militia will be best used keeping order on the way and while you're in exile.
We can't evacuate?
Where? You don't have enough hulls in the system to take everyone or time to load them. You have only one station, and they'll blow it. They'll install their own rather than risk yours being booby-trapped. Get everyone out of the station, downside, and get away from your cities and towns. It'll still be nasty, but that will save the most lives.
This wasn't what they had wanted to hear, even though she had said much the same thing before Garavay arrived. They tried to talk her into some other solutions. Harris held firm. She would do her best, but she could not promise to save the planet from direct attack. And she would need control of every space-capable hull they had once they'd evacuated the station.
But you can't hope to fight with shuttles. They don't have shields we're speaking of.
No, but we can sew some traps with them. Then we can extract the crews onto one of the warships.
And the shuttles?
They'll be lost, one way or another. With any luck, they'll have made things tougher for the invaders.
The General Secretary agreed to have the empty upbound shuttles loaded with readily available explosives. Those waiting for evacuation were kept busy shifting incoming cargo from the shuttles. A few, who had experience with explosives, helped manufacture them into crude mines. Then she thought of Sirkin and Brunn. She had realized that Sirkin, intelligent and hardworking as she was, lacked precisely what Brunn had. The flair, or whatever it was, that picked the right choice when things got hairy. She needed to get Sirkin to such safety as was available, which meant downside and underground. She had no safe place to stash Brunn. What would her father want, given the options? His assumption that Brunn would be safer with her now seemed utter folly. She was taking ships into battle against great odds, and very likely the planet would be scorched. Brunn, as usual, had her own opinions, and interrupted the transmission from Sweet Delight.
Captain Serrano, please, give me a chance. Esteban, please, just a minute, please let me come with you. I know I'm not fleet, and I know I'd be in the way, but it's better than going downside. Surely there's something simple I could do, so that someone else could help fight.
There may be, but you can do it on planet. I want someone I trust with Lady Cecilia. You and Sirkin can keep an eye on her. I know it's going to be rough down there when the shooting starts.
But
I don't have time to argue, Brunn. This is one time you'll just do what I say. Besides, you can represent the Grand Council to the General Secretary. Assure him that Xavier won't be forgotten.
She cut that connection and found herself faced with a choice of five others. The station master wanted to know what she would do about the small mining settlements on the second satellite of Blue Eyes, the smaller gas giant. She could do nothing but send them word of what was happening. She had no time to think of anything else. The General Secretary wanted to know if she could use elements of the local militia. Yes, if they volunteered. Experienced shuttle pilots? Yes. A local news program wanted to interview her? No. The General Secretary's staff would handle news. The station's own medical team, doctors, medics, nannies, and all, volunteered to come along on one of the ships because they were certified in space medicine. Yes. And what about the breakdown in the financial ansible? Kutsudas had come aboard with his kit bag of gadgets and installed them while the other techs gave him startled looks.
Some of you may have met Commander Levati's senior scan tech, Esteban Kutsudas. He's been assisting the Admiralty in this investigation.
By their reaction, they might have waited years for a chance to watch the legendary Kutsudas in action.
By the way, someone find him a uniform. You would prefer a real uniform, wouldn't you, Esteban?
Oh, yes, Captain. Although right now I just want to get these things installed and running.
Harris grinned. Better and better. She noticed that Kutsudas managed to keep a hand or his head between the watchers and what he was actually doing, most of the time. Then his scan lit, obviously sharper than the ones on either side.
How'd you do that?
Don't ask.
His fingers danced across the plain surfaces of his add-ons. Harris never had figured out how he operated them. His display changed color suddenly, showing the departing Despite in a vivid arc of color that zoomed suddenly closer. Harris flinched, even though she knew it was Kutsudas and not the patrol craft. Along one side of the display, three sets of numbers scrolled past.
There. 87% of her maximum acceleration, but she's got a bobble in the in-system drive. Sloppy. It's cutting their output. Weapons still cold. That's odd. Shields? There goes the pre-jump shield check.
Wow. I never believed it. I heard about him, but I didn't believe it.
It's impossible.
The grizzled senior chief stood poised behind Kutsudas' shoulder, absorbing what he could.
Cut the chatter.
Send a tight beam.
Kutsudas gave the vector.
There they are.
Now his display zoomed to another vector, where 3, 5, 7 scarlet dots burned.
Tag them.
Beside each one, a code appeared.
Range?
Harris leaned forward, as if she could pry more information out of the display. Numbers flickered along both edges of the screen.
They're in the cone. They'll get whatever Despite sent, and the range is still affected by the downjump turbulence. I won't have it to any precision for an hour, Captain.
3 to 4 hours for me, Captain.
But they're at the system's edge. It's a cautious approach, very cautious. They won't spot us for another several hours at least, even with the boosted long scan. They're blinded by their own downjump turbulence.
What's Despite doing?
Kutsudas flicked back over that ship's departing signature.
Running fast. Considering scan lag, I'll bet she's already gone into jump.
Cecilia arrived at the shuttle port in a foul temper. It had taken forever to get a ground car out to Marcia's place, and she hadn't been about to take any favors from Marcia. So she had endured a long, bumpy, dusty trip into the shuttle port. Traffic crowded the road going the other way. It must be some local holiday, with early closing. But once in town, clogged streets delayed them, and she was afraid the shuttle port would be just as bad. She had tried to call Harris, but Sirkin was uncharacteristically vague about where she was, only saying she wasn't on the yacht. Cecilia didn't care where she was, she just wanted to be sure they could leave when she reached the station. She forced a smile at the ticketing clerk, glad to find that she wasn't at the tail of a long line.
Any room on the up shuttle?
The clerk looked surprised and worried both, but clerks often did. His problems were his problems. She had room in her mind for only one thing, leaving Xavier far, far behind.
Yes, ma'am, but...
Fine. First class, if you have it, but anything will do.
What she really wanted was a long shower, a cooling drink, and a good supper. Depending on how long she had to wait for the shuttle, she might eat here, although she didn't remember the shuttleport having anything but machine dispensers.
But, ma'am, you don't want to go up right now.
Yes, I do want to go up right now. I have a ship. We're leaving.
Oh, you're leaving the system from the station?
Yes. I'm Cecilia DeMarctos, and my ship, the Sweet Delight, is at the station. We'll be leaving for Rotterdam as soon as I arrive.
Oh, well, in that case, let me see your ID, please.
Cecilia stared around the terminal as she waited for the clerk to process her ID and credit cube. Beyond the windows, a shuttle streaked by, landing. She had timed it perfectly. She glanced at the clerk. He was talking busily into a handset. Checking her out? Fine. Let him. She was sick of this place. The shuttle came into view again, taxiing to the terminal. A ground crew swarmed out to it. Cecilia peered down the corridor to the arrival lounge. Finally, a door opened, and people started coming out, a hurrying stream of them. More and more. More than she had thought the usual shuttle held. When they got closer, she realized they looked scared.
Has the radar shown up again? Is that why Harris doesn't answer?
The clerk tapped her on the arm.
Lady Cecilia, here. A first-class ticket up to the station. But I've been advised to tell you that you really should reconsider. I can't sell you a round trip. If you change your mind, you may not be able to come back down. There's an alert. This is the last shuttle flight. They're evacuating.
Cecilia accepted the ticket.
I'm not planning to stay there. When's departure?
As soon as they refuel and turn her around. You may board right away. And I'm afraid you'll have to hand carry your luggage.
Not a problem.
She hadn't brought much. She could carry it easily. She heaved her duffel onto her shoulder and started down the corridor. She noticed that no one else joined her. In the first-class cabin, the crew were scurrying around picking up trash. The seats had been laid flat. She wondered if people had been crammed in side by side on them. One of the crew looked up, startled.
What are you... You have a ticket? A ticket up? Are you crazy?
I'm going to meet my ship, which is departing. Don't worry about me.
She unlatched a seat back and pulled it upright herself, then stowed her gear on the seat next to her. If she was to be the only passenger, she saw no reason to worry about regulations. Then she heard other footsteps coming and started to move her duffel. But it wasn't passengers. Instead, a line of men in some kind of uniform formed down the aisle and began passing canisters and boxes covered with warning labels hand to hand. Cecilia leaned out to look down the aisle and see where they were being put and nearly got clonked in the head.
Excuse us, ma'am, if you could just keep out of the way.
Cecilia sat back, wondering what the labels meant. She vaguely remembered seeing markings like that on the things Harris had installed in her yacht.
If you could just move that.
Someone else handed her duffel over. She sat with it on her lap and began to wonder just what was going on. On the seat where her duffel had been, one of the men placed a heavily padded container labeled Fuses, Danger, Do Not Drop, and strapped it in as carefully as if it were human.
Don't bump that.
She smiled back automatically before she could wonder why or ask anything. The men turned and began filing out. The hatch closed, and she felt the familiar shift in air pressure as the shuttle's circulation system came on. A crewman came back from the front of the shuttle and smiled at her.
All set? You might want to set your stuff on the floor. It might be a bit rough. Last chance to leave if you're having second thoughts.
She was having third, fourth, and fifth thoughts, but she still didn't want to get off the shuttle and go back to Marcia and Poots, or anywhere else on this benighted planet. Surely, when she got to the station, Harris could get her out of whatever problem was developing locally. Besides, it would look damn silly to back out now.
I'm fine, thank you. I suppose it is permissible to use the facilities?
Yes, but we aren't carrying any meals on this trip. If you need water,
I know where the galley is. I can serve myself. Or you, if you want.
Great! Stay down until we're clear.
Whatever it was, they were in an almighty hurry. The shuttle hesitated only briefly when it turned at the end of the runway, then screamed into the sky. She supposed, since the usual visual display in the first-class cabin wasn't on, and the heat shields covering the portholes wouldn't slide back until they were out of the atmosphere. Nothing happened on the trip. She used the facilities, found the ice water and a bag of melting ice, offered the pilots water, which they refused, and foil-wrapped packets of cookies, which they accepted. She rummaged in the lockers, finding a whole box of the cookie packets jammed into a corner, and a card with "Meet you at Willie's tomorrow night, 2310, on it, in swirly flourishes of green ink. In the top left-hand locker, a pile of coffee filters tumbled out, and she gave up the search for anything more interesting. She shoved the coffee filters back behind their door and opened a cookie packet. They could call it Special Deluxe Appetizing Biscuit if they wanted, but it tasted like the residue of stale crumbs in the bottom of a tin. Cecilia decided she wasn't that hungry. A line of passengers crammed the corridor as she came out. Most of them gaped at her. She tried to remember which was the shortest way around to Sweet Delight.
Lady Cecilia!
Brunn was waving a frantic hand. Sirkin was with her.
Brunn! Whatever are you doing there? Why aren't you on the yacht?
Don't you know about it?
What?
The invasion. The Benignity is coming, with a fleet or something. Captain Serrano doesn't think she can hold them off. They're evacuating this station and telling people planetside to go into shelter, underground if possible.
Across Cecilia's mind scrolled the broad acres of Marcia and Poots' stud farm, the great log barns, the handsome paddocks, the gleaming horses. Admittedly horses with conformational faults, but still horses.
You're serious?
Yes. Captain Serrano told Sirkin and me to go downside, find you, and take care of you. She's having a military team crew the yacht.
Where is she?
On the cruiser. Wait, I'll explain, but you have to get into this line. You have to come with us, downside.
I don't want to go back down there.
Cecilia was aware, even as she said it, that it sounded foolish.
I've been there. I want to be on my ship.
Come on, you can't do that. There's no crew, and when there is a crew, it won't be people you know. Come on, get in line with us. Come on.
Brunn stepped back, making room, and Cecilia started toward the gap.
She's an old lady. She's my mother's friend.
A rejuvenate! I'm not losing my chances to get home safe for any damn rejuvenate!
People shoved forward, slamming into Brunn and Sirkin, who could not help slamming into those ahead. A harried-looking station militiaman arrived.
Hey, no shoving! Stay in line! Stay in line! Will you people calm down?
Evacuate all of us!
Eventually, things calmed down enough for Brunn to explain.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but we don't have even one space left on the down shuttles. One's filling now, hauling maximum mass, and the one you came in on will be the last down. You bought a one-way. You assured the clerk you were bound out system on your own ship.
That's right, but I can't just abandon these two. They're friends, children.
Sorry, ma'am. The clerk did try to warn you. As it is, we don't have shuttle capacity for everyone. Some have to stay and risk it.
Brunn swung a long leg over the rope that kept them all in line.
I'm staying.
Brunn, no! If there's real danger, I want you safe.
There's always danger, and Captain Serrano said to keep you safe. I can't do that from down there.
Brunn jerked her head in the direction of the planet. The line had closed in behind her without a word, but with absolute determination. Sirkin turned, started to move.
Brunn!
No! Not you!
Sirkin, too, stepped over the rope.
Yes, me. I'm a navigator. I'm good for something in space and nothing much on planet. I know I don't have your kind of flair, Brunn, but I can free someone else by doing my own work.
Over her head, Cecilia met Brunn's eyes.
Then you now have two more places for those who thought they must stay. Do you need these tickets?
No, thank you.
The militia jogged toward the head of the line.
Well, come along before the yacht vanishes into space and we're left up here wondering how to run a space station.
No one was aboard the Sweet Delight. Brunn and Sirkin both knew the dockside access codes, and the hatches opened for them. Cecilia lugged her gear to her own suite and activated her desk. A stack of messages had accumulated since the last time she'd retrieved them, including one from Commerce Bank and Trust, which informed her that her balance was more than adequate to purchase all the Singularity straws she wanted. She unpacked her duffel and decided to shower. Whatever emergency was coming, she might as well meet it clean, in comfortable clothes. She stuffed her dirty clothes in the wash hamper and turned the shower to full pulse. She was finally feeling clean, all the travel grime and irritation out of her system, when the lights blinked off and back on so fast that her new panic and darkness didn't have time to reach full strength. She elbowed the shower controls from water pulse to radiant heat and blow dry. Her pulse slowed as the lights stayed on and the fan whirred steadily. She turned, running her fingers through her hair to let the warm air reach her scalp. Then she saw the shadow beyond the shower door, a moving shadow.
What the hell?
The door opened, yanked hard from outside, and Cecilia found herself face to face with a uniformed man armed with one of her own hunting rifles, the expensive ones Harris had bought for her back on Cerealis. At second glance, he looked more like a boy dressed up to play soldier, a fresh-faced youth who couldn't have been over 20.
Who are you?
Kindly hand me my robe.
Cecilia didn't bother to hide what he'd already seen. It wasn't her problem anyway, even if he was turning an unnatural red around the collar. She felt wickedly glad that he was seeing her younger body, not the 86-year-old version. When he didn't move to comply, she lifted her chin.
It's drafty, and my robe is right there beside you on the warming rack.
Yes, ma'am.
Without looking away, he reached out and snagged the robe, fingering the pockets quickly. Cecilia's brows rose. Then she realized he thought she might have weapons concealed in it, and her brows rose higher. Finally, he handed it over, and she shrugged into it, tied it around her waist.
I'm coming out.
He stepped back, giving her room. Without haste, she picked up one of the towels on the warming rack and finished drying her feet, then took another and toweled the rest of the dampness out of her hair. She moved to the mirrors and picked up the comb on the shelf.
I'm Cecilia DeMarctos. This was my yacht. It's technically Harris Serrano's now, but I've hired it. And who are you?
Pivot Major Osala, from the RSS Cruiser Vigilance, ma'am.
And what are you doing on my ship?
Her hair was fluffing into an untidy brush after the shower. It needed trimming. She glanced at the soldier in the mirror. He was looking at her as if she were something else. A monster of some sort. A freak.
Commander Serrano said, "Is that the same person you called Harris Serrano?"
Cecilia turned to face him directly.
I suppose. Harris Serrano, formerly an RSS officer and now my captain. She told you to come aboard? I suppose it's all right then.
Commander Serrano, she's taken command of the Vigilance.
She has. Good for her. Even though she did kill a raider with this yacht, if there's trouble coming, she'd much better have a cruiser to fight with.
But, ma'am, aren't you scared at all? Of me?
The confusion on his young face almost made her laugh.
I have a weapon.
Young man, Pivot Major, is it? Didn't Commander Serrano tell you about me?
No, ma'am. The ship was supposed to be empty, only we found the entry hatch open. And Jig Farrow went to the bridge with the rest of the crew, except me and Hugh. We were supposed to look for stragglers.
Well, young man, if you ask Commander Serrano, she will explain that I'm a very old lady who has been rejuvenated, and I've been face to face with more firearms than you might think. You can kill me, but you are unlikely to scare me.
Oh. Are you an undercover, too, like Commander Serrano was?
Undercover? Harris?
While that ran through her mind, she simply stared at the young soldier until he looked away.
If I were undercover, would I tell you? I don't know what your security clearance is.
No, ma'am. I mean, you don't. You wouldn't. But I still have to tell them you're here.
Of course you do. Tell Commander Serrano I'd like to speak with her at her earliest convenience, when I'm dressed.
She headed for her bedroom, and the muzzle of his weapon wavered, then fell away.
Idiot. Suppose I were a spy or whatever he suspected. I could have an arsenal under my pillows.
She pulled open drawers, rummaging through the clothes she'd left in the ship when she went down. She felt something practical was called for rather than grand lady-ish. The cream silk pullover, the brown twill slacks, the low boots with padded ankles. When she glanced in the mirror, the soldier had disappeared, no doubt to report her existence.
Harris will have something to say to him about that.
She strode out to the other room to answer her desk. There was the young man, looking embarrassed, by the door to the corridor. Another stood with him. Cecilia gave them a distracted smile and touched her control panel.
Cecilia, what are you doing on that yacht?
Cecilia queried for video, but found that the signal carried no video.
I got fed up with Marsha and Poots and came back. I was going to ask you to take me to Rotterdam.
And no one told you about the emergency?
I didn't know until I arrived at the station on the last up shuttle, which was going to be over full going down. I found Brunn and Sirkin, and we're all safe.
You're not safe. You're square in the midst of a military action. This system is under attack by the Benignity. Their ships are in the outer system now, and I need that yacht and its weapons. Not three useless civilians who were supposed to be down on the surface digging in.
Civilians aren't always useless. If you can remember that far back, one of them saved your life on Cerealis.
True. I'm sorry. It's just... The question is, what now? I can't get you to safety on planet. If that's safe...
So quit worrying about it. Do you think I'm worried about dying?
You just got rejuved.
So I did. It didn't eliminate my 80-odd years of experience or make me timid. If I die, I die. But in the meantime, why not let me help?
Lady Cecilia, you are inimitable. Get yourself up to the bridge. Someone will find you a place. Jig Farrow's in command. I'll let him know you're coming.
Good hunting, Harris.
Even in more normal conditions of war, when Harris had had time to make plans and go over them with her crew, the last hours before combat always seemed to telescope, accelerating toward them in a way that the physicists said didn't make sense. This was far worse. A change of command so close to battle was tricky at best, when it resulted from a captain's sudden illness or other emergency. She had not had time to gain the crew's confidence. She had not had time to assess their competence, their readiness for combat. The normal thing to do, the textbook thing to do, was get out fast and get help. She had no orders to defend Xavier. She was clearly outnumbered. The loyalty of her crews was questionable. Or, if she chose to stay, it would be prudent to send the yacht with its civilians. It could reach a safe jump radius and time to get away, long before an attack could reach it, and go back to a fleet sector headquarters and report. If the Benignity invaders hadn't mined the nearest jump point insertions, they could have, and that could be the reason for the gap in the financial Ansible's transmissions. Many communications nodes for Ansible transmission were located near jump points for ease of maintenance and repair. She had an uneasy feeling about the jump points.
I have complete confidence in your judgment.
Her Aunt Admiral had said that. Her aunt, who had not commented on her performance since the Academy. What did complete confidence mean in a situation like this? Would her aunt back whatever decision she made? Or did her aunt really think she had some special ability to choose the best course of action? She could not let any of these thoughts interfere with her concentration. The only plans she had were hasty improvisations. Very well, that beat no plans at all. As far as her officers could tell, her plans came down from the Admiralty. That the plans were in direct defiance of common sense wouldn't bother them over much. It wasn't their judgment on the line. If the message capsule she'd sent reached the fleet relay Ansible, if no one was suppressing such messages, someone would eventually consider her judgment, her decision to stay, her choice of tactics. With luck, they might even get help before the Benignity blew them away.
What we've got is a very unorthodox force for defending an inhabited planet.
Her senior officers knew that, but they needed to hear the obvious from her, at least at the beginning.
One cruiser, one patrol craft, one armed yacht, one very ancient Demoiselle-class escort, three atmospheric shuttles, one of them armed with phase cannon, inadequately mounted but perhaps good for a single round, assuming a suicidal crew.
Phase cannon in a shuttle?
It's what they had. It's never been fired, of course. We've warned them. It would take weeks of refitting to strengthen the mounts, and we don't have that time. Grogon is supposedly hyper-capable, but I don't trust its FTL generator, and neither did my engineers when they inspected it. The yacht is, of course, and it's carrying substantial weaponry for its hull.
Harris pulled up the display and pointed it out.
But the trade-off there was on shields. She has only her light-duty civilian screen shields. Nothing else in the system is hyper-capable. The mining colonies have little shuttles and one ore carrier. It's a big hull, but it's underpowered. And no weapons.
Major Tinsey was on the tight beam from Paradox.
So, what's our plan?
Harassment with deception. We don't have real surprise because of Hearn on Despite, but she didn't know about everything. Unless we're extremely lucky, we won't destroy the incoming ships, or even deflect them permanently. But we probably can delay their attack on the planet itself by making them unsure of how many of us there are. Even if they never use the phase cannon, for instance, they'll light up someone else's weapons scans. So will old Grogan.
Something else nagged at her memory and finally broke through. She called Kutsudis into the conference line.
Did Levati falsify his ID at the commercial level that time when he hailed us with the wrong name?
You saw through it.
Yes, but we had military scan, as you know. I didn't bother to check what a commercial scan would have shown. How did you do it? How long does it take? And could you have falsified your beacon to military scanning?
It's pretty simple. It's all in knowing how. It takes maybe an hour or two, that's all. Yeah, you could do it for both kinds of beacon transmissions. Of course, it's illegal. Captain Levati didn't want anyone in fleet to mistake him.
I'm sure. Could you do it for this ship?
Well, yes. Why?
Oblo has installed two different fake beacon IDs in the yacht. If we could patch something up for this ship and Paradox, we could give the Benignity something to think about.
We still only have two real warships.
But they don't know that. They know despite said that, running away, which can't have been the plan. They were expecting Garavay and friends to be here, welcoming them in. They probably had a name, possibly even a familiar contact. They drop out of FTL and find one of their expected allies fleeing, telling them not to worry, there's only a single cruiser in patrol. Would you believe that if you were a CH captain?
No, I wouldn't. I'd think double cross. The conspirators discovered betrayal. Something like that, anyway.
Right. Is this a hands-on patch, or can you explain to Paradox how to change their beacon, too? I want both ships to be able to switch back and forth.
It's doable, but it doesn't change the basic scan. Nothing's going to convince them that there's more ships if the beacon data on a mass point suddenly changes.
And don't worry about that. Just get hold of Oblo, and the two of you give us some fake identities that would hold up to fleet standards. I have an idea.
Harris had more than one. Ideas flickered through her mind almost too fast to see. Off to one side, she imagined the Benignity Formation Commander. He would be one of their elder sons, equivalent to the RSS Admiral Minor. Hearn's message would make him bunch his formation, counting on its weight of weapons and numerical superiority, as long as he found what he expected. A cruiser smaller than any of his ships, a patrol ship, a lightly armed yacht, and a slow-moving, nearly toothless scow. But if the scan data didn't fit, or worse, if it was inconsistent, suggesting that Hearn had lied, he would hesitate, pause behind his screening barrage, and prepare for a more extended combat. He might even be unwise enough to detach a ship or two. If each of her three ships could appear to be one or two other ships, and if she could use the Benignity's barrage as a screen for her own movements...
We could fake some beacons as well. Launch them.
Harris nodded. She hadn't expected Tinsey to show that much imagination.
No mass readings. It won't fool him for more than a few seconds.
If we could get mass?
Another glimmer of an idea. Xavier's system wasn't overly full of handy rocks the right size, but those shuttles, loaded with anything massive from the station and with faked beacons, might distract the Compassionate Hand commander.
You and Oblo get on it, Kutsudis. We need it done before their scans clear from jump insert.
Yes, sir.
Harris looked around at the others and saw thoughtful looks, only the reasonable amount of tension.
Let's get going.
When she reached the bridge, Kutsudis waved her over. He had the first reasonably detailed scans of the arriving force.
They're sticking to normal tactics, throwing out a screening barrage on jump exit. It'll have tags keyed into their IDs, coming on in a clump.
When will they have scan return?
Normally. A solid 12 hours after jump exit, and that's with efficient boosts. They exited 8 to 9 hours ago, so that means we have 3 blind hours for certain. But with despite signal, if they picked it up...
They'll have a lot more detail than the best scans would give them. Current ship IDs. But not everything.
I'm getting some separation in that clump, though. Looks like one or two may be trailing back a bit farther than normal.
Jump exit error?
Could be. I'll stay on it.
Cecilia strolled into Sweet Delight's bridge compartment, trailed by the two young soldiers. Sirkin sat at the navigation console, looking scared. Brunn perched where Petrus usually sat, looking excited. Cecilia could not tell who was in charge, and was annoyed with herself for not knowing what all the insignia and markings were. Cecilia had had no direct experience with the military until she hired Harris. Now she watched as the young man with two comma-shaped bits of metal on his collar organized his crew and set about carrying out Harris's orders. He looked to be Ronnie's age, or perhaps a few years older, she couldn't tell, but he had a hard-edged quality unlike her nephew's. Not courage, exactly. Ronnie was brave, but a definition, a focus, as if he were carved out of a single hard material by a sharp tool. So were the rest. She had noticed that with Harris's old crew, but assumed it was the result of the ordeals they'd been through as a result of Lupescu. And they had been cordial to her once they knew her. Even Oblo. Of course, she'd never seen them in anything but civilian ship suits. They all wore RSS gray, with sleeve and shoulder patches and marks that meant something to them and nothing to her. Most seemed very young, but the one sitting where she remembered Oblo had a grizzled fringe around the margin of his bald head.
Your Lady Cecilia. I'm Junior Lieutenant Farrow. Jig Farrow is the more common way to say it. Commander Serrano says you offered to help out.
I presented her with a dilemma, is what you and she both mean. There's bound to be something simple that you need done. Watching gauges or something.
Wish I knew her better. How she thinks. What she thinks you might do.
That I can help you with. I've worked with her for a couple of years now.
Oh, you were part of her, cover?
I don't think I should discuss it. Especially when I haven't the faintest idea what Harris actually said and did.
Oh, no. Sir, of course not. Sorry. But feel free, ma'am, to advise me whenever you have any insight into Commander Serrano's wishes.
I will.
Cecilia sorted rapidly through the little she had heard or read about covert operations and fleet procedures. If Harris had been fooling her, then what would this youngster think she was? All that came to mind was the explanation for the officer's misuse of sir. In the military, officers of both sexes were called sir, which meant that for some reason he thought she was an officer. Odd. Surely he would have some sort of list which proved she wasn't. But his mistake could be useful.
For one thing, I can tell you that Commander Serrano found Brigdis Serkin a most accomplished navigator. She said often that Serkin should have been fleet.
Yes, sir, she told us. Says Serkin has special knowledge of this ship's capabilities.
So does Brun. She's been working with Mahari, I believe it is, and Oblo.
The bald man turned to face her.
That civilian kid has been working with Methlin Mahari, and Janice, and Oblo?
Cecilia had expected them to know Harris's name, but the others, as far as she knew, had been enlisted. Enlightenment came just before she made a fool of herself. Fox hunters knew fox hunters, and stud grooms knew stud grooms. Of course, Harris's top people would have their own fame.
Mahari. Tallish woman, blonde, green eyes. Yes. Brun, didn't you tell me she'd, prodded you through some level of weapons certification?
Yes, Lady Cecilia.
Brun's eyes sparkled. Whatever else happened, she was having a marvelous time.
What level?
Spec 3rd.
And what did Oblo have you doing?
Well, we only got up to 2nd on account of Captain Serrano asked me to spend more time with Arcadi.
A short nod and a glance at Jig Farrow, who was almost prancing from foot to foot. The communications board lit, and the bald man touched the controls, then moved back to clear the pickups for the captain. Kutsudis appeared on screen, with Oblo behind him.
Let me speak to Serkin and Brun, please, Captain Farrow.
Right away.
Farrow sidled along the arc of the bridge, making room for Serkin and Brun to squeeze past, into range of the pickups.
We need to enable the alternate beacon IDs. Brun, you remember how I showed you the lockout sequences?
Yes, you...
And you'll want them all in readiness. You'll be switching them at your captain's order. He sees her there.
The bald man leaned toward the pickups now.
Yo, Oblo.
She doesn't know how to set up that kind of switching, so give her a hand. She's a quick learner, and she does know the lockout's cold.
Right. Priority?
Yesterday. Now, Serkin.
Yes.
Brigdis, Serrano wants you as primary nav for the yacht because you know the, special capabilities for FTL insertions and exits. As well, do you remember that little packet I gave you to take downside?
Yes, I have it.
Good. Set it beside your main nav board, right under the shift control. It is not, repeat, not, to be activated by anyone but yourself. And that is Commander Serrano's direct order. Is that clear?
Sir!
It's key to you anyway, but just in case one of those others gets too curious, it can blow the entire navigation board if you upset it. Hands off. You do remember the activation code, don't you?
Yes, it's...
Don't repeat it. Just use it when it's time.
Cecilia could see that this mysteriousness gave Brunn and Sirkin more prestige with the military, but why? Then Kutsudas appeared to see her for the first time.
Sorry, sir. Didn't recognize you for a moment.
As if anyone else could be mistaken for her. And he knew perfectly well she wasn't a sir. She was the civilian who hadn't even wanted him aboard.
Lady Cecilia, I believe Commander Serrano would like to speak to you.
Again?
But Harris was there now, looking at her with an expression half concerned and half gleeful. Damn the woman. She was looking forward to this battle.
Lady Cecilia, Captain Farrow has been instructed to give you every consideration. You have my authorization for the necessary decisions.
What necessary decisions?
But Cecilia could tell that this was not the time. If she was a fleet officer who had been pretending to be a civilian, she should know that already.
Thank you, Captain Serrano. I presume that our primary objective remains...
As it was. When the time comes for you to jump out of the system, don't hesitate.
Cecilia blinked.
Should that be necessary, I'll have a word with your aunt.
You do that. Now I need to speak with Captain Farrow. Captain, let Sirkin show you the critical jump distances. We've put her into jump much closer than the usual. It's part of the non-standard equipment aboard. You've got the information from Janice and Meharry on weapons capability?
Yes, sir.
Remember to change the beacon IDs based on your determination of the situation once the CH splits up. Give them as many different vectors as you can.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Cecilia could tell that Harris wished she had her own hands on the controls. She herself wished she could see Harris on the bridge of the cruiser. It must be a sight. But the woman couldn't ride two horses at once. She had to let go the reins of this one. She moved back into pickup range.
We'll do fine, Captain Serrano. I have every confidence in Captain Farrow.
For some reason, that made Harris look bug-eyed for a moment.
Well, then, I'll expect acknowledgement when the last orders go out.
Captain Farrow insisted that they were off duty for the next 6 hours, and they went back to Cecilia's suite to relax.
Do you have any idea what Harris is up to?
Cecilia rubbed her temples.
Aside from fighting off an invading fleet, not a clue in this world. I'm so far behind I can't even hear the hounds. I didn't even know that an RSS battle group was here, let alone that she'd taken command of it. I was down there touring breeding farms and getting into a row with Marsha and Poots.
Oh, Lady Cecilia, you're incredible. Didn't they tell you at the shuttle port?
I suppose the man tried. He kept talking about no round-trip tickets, but of course I didn't want a round-trip ticket. I kept telling him I had a ship here and would be leaving the system. Would you please explain?
Oh, Ronnie's so lucky to have an aunt like you. Well, briefly, our Captain Serrano discovered that the captain of the cruiser and some of the others were traitors, planning to help the Benignity take the Xavier system. And she and Petrus figured out that they had to get command of the ships. So, they got invited aboard.
How?
I don't know, but I know she took Petrus, Methlin, Arcadi, and Oblo with her, and the next thing we heard, she was in command. Kutsudas told me before he transferred to the cruiser that the traitors were dead. The cruiser's command computer accepted her.
But she's not in fleet anymore. How could she?
I don't know, I said. She and her old crew had their heads together, sent Brig and me away, said we shouldn't be party to it, so we couldn't be blamed later. She meant us to go downside and take care of you. I know that was a bit silly. You don't need taken care of. But that's why we don't know what she did exactly. I think I can find out. There's a couple of these new people that will let it slip if I hang out with them.
I'm sure they will. And meantime, I'll try to be inscrutable.
Inscrutability came easier when she really did know nothing. Part of Harris's strategy needed no explanation. Cecilia could see for herself the advantage of having the yacht able to switch beacon IDs, and the importance of timing was obvious as well. She cut short Farrow's attempt to explain.
Yes, I can see that it's best to change when we're not in their scan. My question was, are they still clumped up behind their barrage screen?
It won't really screen our change.
Cecilia closed her eyes a moment, and then gave him a stare that had shriveled young men years before this one was born. He froze in place, as she intended.
I know that. What I'm interested in is whether we can tell where they are and whether they're still clumped. When the prey scatters...
But they're hunting us.
Cecilia felt sorry for Harris. If this was the best she could find to send back to the yacht, she must be working with a real handicap on the cruiser.
So they think. I don't believe Commander Serrano looks at it that way. You see, in my experience, Commander Serrano considers herself the hunter.
Oh.
Cecilia shook her hand as if it were obvious.
Or lure them, confuse them. You see my point.
But this is a defensive action.
Come, Captain Farrow. What does the textbook say about defensive actions?
Attack on defense.
Very well. Which makes us... cow horses.
Farrow looked blank.
Riding drag, or flank, or something like that. We keep the stragglers from getting away.
She risked a glance around the bridge and intercepted some dubious expressions from the rest of the crew, expressions quickly wiped to blank respect. That would have to change. She grinned at them all until she got answering smiles, however weak.
I'm a scatty old woman. Don't let my gorgeous red hair fool you. I'm a rejuvenant and it's all fake. And sometimes I lose the words I want. The brain's stuffed too full of too many damn disciplines.
It's all right, sir. It's just we never heard a spaceship compared to a cow horse before. Or the Benignity is cows.
I spent the last 58 days at bloodstock farms with other horse fanciers. Came back with my head full of bloodlines and genetic analyses instead of technical data for ships.
And you really think Commander Serrano was planning to do more than just hold them off?
Yes, and so do you.
But Commander Garavay said...
Commander Garavay is dead. Harris is commanding. It's a new hunt.
As the hours passed, Cecilia decided that only inexperience kept Farrow from being a reasonably good young officer. She had the impression from him and the others that Garavay had wanted no more initiative in his officers than it took to wipe themselves, and he'd have preferred to have them do that on command. But with Cecilia behind him, Farrow began to think of some things for himself. He would glance at her fearfully each time. She discovered that a smile and a nod seemed to increase his intelligence by 10 points. And Farrow's judgment, when he actually got up his nerve to make decisions, was sound. He accepted Sirkin's expertise, and they made their FTL hop on her mark. The first switch of beacon IDs went without a hitch, and then they were tucked in behind Orison's rings, Sirkin having managed to drop the extra velocity of the FTL jump in some clever way that let them crawl into cover with, as Farrow put it, just enough skirt trailing.
Which satellite has the mining colony?
That one. But they've got nothing useful.
For now. Who knows? If we asked them, they might be able to help.
I'm not sure I have the authority to talk to civilians at a time like this.
I do.
What that authority was, Cecilia wasn't sure, but her instinct said it was time to form a pack. Aboard the Benignity cruiser Paganini, Admiral Straussi glared at his subordinate.
What do you mean Zamfir is out of action? There has been no action.
It could be the chairman. It could be the chairman's way of punishing him for that foolish jest in the boardroom, to make sure a problem ship came along. Easy enough to do, not easy to handle. He could hardly go back and complain. And he wondered if the chairman had any other surprises for him. The younger man looked nervous, as well he might.
Drive problem. A failure of synchronization in the FTL generator with resultant surge damage on downshift.
A real problem, although it usually resulted from poor maintenance. In safe situations, the best solution was complete shutdown of both drives with a cold start of the sublight drive once the residual magnetics had diminished to a safe level. But that left the ship passive, unable to maneuver at all. Straussi had his doubts, though. He could not verify the problem from here, and he didn't trust the chairman's great-nephew.
You are telling me that you did not adequately inspect your ship before starting off on this mission?
Sir, the Admiral knows we were assigned to this mission only 14 hours before launch.
The Admiral also knows the entire fleet has been on alert, all ships to be ready to depart at 1 hour's notice. Had you slacked off, Captain?
No, Admiral. It wasn't that. It was just...
Just that you somehow failed to notice a problem that any first year fresh out of school could see, Captain. Now let me put it this way. Either you get your ship back into formation, or we leave you. I am not risking this mission for someone too stupid and lazy to do the job for which he was overpaid.
The Benignity commands.
That was the only possible answer. The Admiral watched the scans. Zamfir continued to lag. The lag widened. By the estimate of the senior engineer aboard the Paganini, the other cruiser's in-system drive had lost 30% of its power.
If the RSS ship was right, their cruiser might be able to take Zamfir.
If they want to waste their time attacking our stragglers, they have my blessing. Let them trade salvos with Zamfir. Paolo might actually blow them away and regain my respect, and at least they'd be out of our way. Now, our objective is the Xavier system, to prepare it for the use of the entire fleet. We don't care what happens to Zamfir.
And Cusp?
The Admiral considered. The little killer ship, now flanking Zamfir, had been intended as rear guard and as messenger both. Had the damaged cruiser been where it should, Cusp would have been the tail of the formation.
Bring Cusp to its normal position.
He was almost glad to leave Zamfir out there, unprotected. Paolo's carelessness was going to cause trouble no matter what happened. He was the chairman's great-nephew. He was supposed to come out of this a hero. Instead, he had already caused trouble. He stared at the scans, waiting for Cusp to close up. Nothing happened. The two ships dropped still farther behind.
What is his problem?
Then the Admiral remembered. The captain of Cusp was Paolo's brother-in-law. They had always been close. Well, fine. Let them both hang back, and maybe the Familius commander would think it was some new tactic and engage them. Together, they should be an easy match for an RSS cruiser. Perhaps this would work out after all. Of course, it was bad for discipline, but he could rescind the order.
I've changed my mind. Order Cusp to hold position and engage the enemy at will. We have sufficient margin of superiority. We can afford to test new tactics.
Harris tried to think herself into the enemy's mind. Assuming that Hearn had told the truth as she saw it, the Benignity commander believed there were three hyper-capable ships near Xavier, and an obsolete defense escort with no FTL drive. A cruiser, the most dangerous, commanded by a Serrano, a name they should know. A patrol craft, whose new captain was far enough down the table of officers that he might not even be listed in the CH database. Certainly there was no combat command listing for him. And an armed yacht, whose real capabilities Harris had screened from Garavay's personnel. She had told Hearn that she expected a Benignity attack in a few days, certainly within 10 local days. In other words, the Benignity commander would expect them to be looking for trouble, but not necessarily on full alert yet, particularly not after a hostile takeover of the ships. Hearn would have transmitted her assessment of the situation, but her main concern had been to escape. She certainly hadn't stayed around to answer questions. On the bridge, four clocks were running countdowns. Kutsudis' estimate of when the CH ships could get reliable scan on them, Kutsudis' estimate of when standard fleet scans would have shown the CH jump point exit, the scan delay display, and the real-time clock which her own crew would use for its timing of maneuvers and firing. Kutsudis pointed at the yacht's icon.
She's jumped? You know, I thought Levati would pass out when you jumped her that close to Navern. What did you do to that hull?
Ask me no questions.
At some level below current processing, Harris was distantly aware of other gears ticking into alignment. Amazing how all those unauthorized and illegal changes to Sweet Delight now made sense, in light of her pretense to have been on undercover assignment. She was going to be really angry if it turned out her Aunt Admiral had diddled with her memory, and she only thought she'd been forced to resign.
I always knew Elblo was a genius. Him and Janice and Kinvenard.
And you. Don't be greedy. I envied Levati for years.
It was mutual. Ah, she's back. Her, third incarnation, it is. The one from the Guernsey.
Speaking of geniuses, I think Elblo would emigrate in a flash if they didn't have such stringent rules on personal weaponry.
Harris watched the screen. The old Grogan now occupied the approximate volume of space where the yacht had been, and its beacon reported that it was the yacht. Although of different shapes, they had similar mass. Light hours away, the yacht curved around the largest chunk of rock in this section of the rock ring, the remains of a small planetoid that had come apart eons before. It still showed on Vigilance's scans, but from the angle of the CH flotilla, it should have appeared briefly, as if it had darted out to get a clean scan or tight beam message, and then gone back into hiding. Vigilance itself bored out at half the maximum in-system drive acceleration, as if in cautious pursuit of Despite.
We would be cautious, because we would worry if Despite had an ally out there, something Garavay didn't chart. He didn't even drop temporary mines, did he?
Her new weapons first looked up.
No, sir. He said there was no need to cause a problem for incoming commercial traffic. It would cost him much to clear later, and no beacon leeches either. Well, that's standard, but we just thought he was in a snit to be sent out here away from Third Ward HQ when all the excitement was going on.
He didn't want any clever amateurs on Xavier to pick up a warning.
Harris wondered what excitement that had been. Something else she didn't have time to pursue.
They might have us. Another hour and we'll have to assume they do.
The Benignity Flotilla, knowing exactly what to look for and where, would see them as soon as the limits of their technology made it possible. The FR vessels could be presumed to divide their attention in more directions. They might not notice the distant flotilla at first if they were looking elsewhere.
How's our angle?
Well, it's close, sir. If they believe that we believe Despite is leading us straight to them, then we could miss a signal, for a while. But the normal cone would pick it up as a primary signal.
And their insertion barrage?
There's nothing between us to cause detonations before we run into it. And the drive should be off by now, real time.
Time passed. Harris had walked most of the ship by now, letting the crew see her. Dangerous, but necessary. If they were going to fight well, they had to know who commanded them, one of the textbook rules that actually seemed to work in the real world. They were busy. She had told her officers to use whatever training drills they could to get the crew up to peak efficiency. That included rest and food. She herself had left the bridge for a hot meal and a short nap in the captain's quarters, with Janice keeping watch outside. Now she was back on the bridge, restless as always in the last minutes before action.
We should be noticing them now.
Harris glanced over, and his screen flared as something blew. The enemy icons rippled, their confidence limit markers spreading out. Kutsudas hunched over.
Damn! They blew some of their own barrage screen. They really want us to see them.
The Benignity hates uncertainty. It must have been driving their commander crazy when he didn't seem to notice them.
The Vigilance's screens flicked on at full power, as Harris had planned, and weapons brought all boards hot. Harris had given the orders hours ago, and so far all was going as planned. They were far enough from Xavier now to jump safely. The cruiser popped in and out, a standard maneuver, slipping back out with a lower relative velocity. Not a standard maneuver. The low V exit on a very short jump meant minimal blurring of scans on exit. Now the scan lag, with Kutsudas' special black boxes, was less than 10 minutes.
Got him again. Captain, they've brought the heavies with them.
So we expected. Let me see the data.
The CH ships had their beacons live. They were not pretending to be anything but what they were, an invading force. And they were in more danger from each other if they went blank. Harris recognized the classes, but not the individual ships, whose names meant little to her. She knew the Composer class was usually named for composers, and she knew Paganini. But who was Dylan? Or Zamfir? Not that it mattered. The Benignity cruiser was a third again the mass of Vigilance, and thus could mount more weapons. Three cruisers meant impossible odds. Assault carriers held atmospheric shuttles, assault troops for groundside action if needed, and the components for an orbital station that would serve a larger fleet later. Two of these were more than adequate for assault on a planet with Xavier's population and defenses. And the final two ships, much smaller killer escorts, had the maneuverability the others lacked, along with the firepower of an RSS patrol ship. Which meant Harris's meager force would have been outgunned even if Despite had stayed. Which meant staying was suicidal. The best she could hope to do was delay the invasion long enough for the RSS to defend the jump points exiting this system. So much for complete confidence in her decisions. She could still run, legally, logically, but not as Harris Serrano.
Those two we thought were lagging are farther behind. Not their usual formation.
A new trick?
The Benignity weren't known for minor innovations, like trailing a ship or so from a standard formation. When they changed radically, usually because new technology provided new opportunities.
A precaution. What class?
One cruiser, one killer escort. The cruiser's really dropping back. It must have come out of FTL with low relative velocity.
Gotta be a feint. I wish we could eavesdrop.
Admiral Straussi, the drive continues unstable. If the Admiral wishes, it can be confirmed.
What do you want to do about it?
We're still losing power. If it drops much more, we can't support the weapons.
In other words, they would be slow, unarmed, helpless. Fat sheep in the path of wolves. Admiral Straussi allowed himself a moment of gloating. He hadn't wanted Paolo along, and this whole mess was, ultimately, the fault of the chairman. But experience suggested that the chairman would not be the one whose neck felt the noose. At the least, he must conceal his gloating.
Captain, I apologize for my earlier remarks. I am sure you would not have missed such a major problem in your drive. Have you considered sabotage?
Yes, sir, I have.
There are those who oppose this mission, Captain. I will make sure that no blame accrues to you for your ship's failure to participate in this action. And I'm sorry, Captain, but I cannot jeopardize the invasion for your ship alone.
Of course not, sir.
As he'd expected, Paolo didn't want to appear cowardly. Perhaps he wasn't.
Now, as one man of honor to another, may I suggest that you could do us great service by conserving power for your weaponry, even though that places your ship in greater danger.
It was not a question, and not quite an order. They both would understand. Zamfir was doomed, but it might kill a Familia ship with its death.
It would be my honor, Admiral Straussi, if the Admiral has specific suggestions.
I trust your judgment, Captain.
And that was that. Let the boy figure it out for himself. And if he killed that pesky Serrano, Straussi wouldn't mind a bit recommending him for a posthumous medal.